You're listening to the TFG1 Podcast, Episode 10, recorded... Oh, crap. What's Friday's date? Ah, the 27th of March, 2008. Alrighty then, this is episode 10. Yay, I have 10 episodes. My name is Michael Blanchard. I am your host on the TFG1 podcast, and today we have a special treat. We are breaking Steve/Megatron's TFG1 cherry. Well, at least on a non-supplemental episode basis. Hey, Steve,
hey,
what's
Mike,
going on?
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Nothing much. Just having a whole lot of fun doing this podcasting crap. We just recorded the Transformers the Movie Roundtable with Birdman this past Saturday, and that was pretty fun, and of course that episode won't air until May 8th, but yeah, not too much else going on. I joined the TFW boards because unfortunately whoever is in charge of episode order of Transformers Animated screwed up the episode order and didn't play the episode that everyone thought we were going to get. So we saw no Wasp, we saw nothing of Cybertron, we got Three's a Crowd. Anyway, that's not really G1 related. But the good news is we actually have email. About 2 weeks ago, week ago, I forget, March 10th, so about a week ago, I guess, or somewhere around there. Ken Curry writes, wanted to say I love the podcast and have finally caught up to and wanted to let you know and keep up the great job. Also wanted to comment on episode 7, where you reviewed the core, the Insecticon syndrome, and wanted to say that it is nice to see continuity from the previous season. In the episode Fire in the Sky, it is said that Starscream was a scientist and explorer. In the core, it was nice to see how Starscream explained to Megatron what would happen to the Earth and how it would shatter. Also, in the Insecticon Syndrome, it was nice seeing the mistrust still there between the Decepticons and the Insecticons was there. Keep up the good work, Ken, a.k.a. Sunstorm. And I had sent Ken a message back just telling him, you know, about Episode 8 at the time was getting ready to be released. And then, of course, 9 this past Friday. And actually, when I told him was episode 10 will be in April, well, that's not exactly true. Episode 10 will be this week. So, and I also mentioned to him, you know, actually, he brings up a good point. The continuity between the two seasons is, between season 1 and season 2, is pretty fluid. There are only a few, I guess you could say, filler episodes. The rest of it, almost every episode, like if you take From More Than Meets the Eye to The Ultimate Doom, at least one of those episodes in between those two arcs, you know, has mentioned some sort of continuity from the previous episodes. So that's really good. I think they did a really good job with the overall continuity of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have any thoughts yet, Steve?
Still very early.
Yes, it is. We normally record very early, just not TFG1. I'm normally doing it by myself.
That is true.
Yes.
And you usually would have had one yawn by now.
No, I'm not reading synopsis yet. Just wait. It's coming. So, it's coming.
But, yeah, season 2, for the most part, was pretty fluid. It, other than a few episodes, slightly out of order, It was a pretty good season overall compared to season 1 or season 3.
Yeah. Season 2 was their biggest season. It was, I believe it was 65 episodes, but I don't remember. I'd have to count them on the DVD sets, and I'm not going to do that. I believe it was 65 episodes, but season 2, just from reviewing standpoint, Christ, it is long. Oh my God. It seems like it's two separate seasons, even though it isn't. It just Oh, God. It lasted from... Well, we have four... After this, we'll have four more episodes. After episode 14, season 2 is over, thank God.
No, there's only 26 episodes.
No, that's bullshit.
Well, you're bullshit, so there...
No, I don't think so. There was more than 26 episodes. There has to be more than 26 episodes. It's like 5 episodes per podcast and 9... Yeah. Yeah, there's more than 26. Because if I take 5 episodes per podcast episode, and the season 2 lasts from episode 5 to episode 9, or episode 14, that's 9 episodes of the podcast. So you take 5 times 9, it's like 45 or 36 or something. I don't know. It was something like that. I know it was more than 26. Anyway. All right, let's get into some episodes today.
Searching for hours.
Not the slightest sign of Cosmos. But there is a native in that tree shooting arrows at us.
As long as I breathe, Titans will not worship false gods.
False gods?
To hazard a guess, the Decepticons arrived before we did.
Look, if you stop shooting and start talking, maybe we could work something out.
There's the temple. Your friend is held prisoner inside. There he is.
This is terrible.
Cosmos has been in worse predicaments.
No, I mean worshiping him like he's some kind of god. We're not gods. We're just fancy machines, Talaria.
Faster! Faster! To the temple! Mustn't anger your gods, eh? Autobots!
Right you are, and here's something for you.
There's two of them. I better warn Astro Train. Stand and fight, coward!
Pretty good odds. Two against two. Starscream, this time you just ain't gonna win!
Trust! Help me! Astro Train! Autobots, they're trying to rescue Cosmos! Hit the false gods with your crystals!
Up first is the God Gambit. To synopsize this episode, we start this episode off in deep space, where an alien race is worshipping something they call a sky god. Some rebels come in and destroy the statue. We then see Cosmos being chased by Astrotrain in deep space. Cosmos attempts to contact Autobot headquarters on Earth. He has vital data on energy on the energy that he is carrying, that he must get back to the base. Astrotrain shoots Cosmos down, and he lands where the alien races of people were. However, the Decepticons land there too, and Astrotrain declares himself the mightiest of all gods. The female rebel leader activates Cosmos's signal beacon, bringing the Autobots to the desolate planet. However, the Decepticons learn of this treachery and blast the woman. She escapes, though, just as Cosmos reactivates and he blasts Starscream. Astrotrain blasts Cosmos as well, as they're all running low on energy. Meanwhile, on Earth, the Autobots prepare a rescue mission of Cosmos. Jazz and Perceptor board Omega Supreme, who then blasts off for the distant... It's actually a distant moon is what it is. The Autobots arrive, but the Decepticons trick them. Jazz and Perceptor find the Crystal Energy Mine. While there, the Autobots learn of the sacrifice Jazz attempts... Jazz attempts to rescue while Perceptor gets the energy they need to refuel Omega Supreme. Omega is refueled and he joins the fight. Jazz saves the human that the Decepticons wanted to be sacrificed. Okay, the female rebel that Yeah, okay, I got it now. Omega Supreme gets the Decepticons to retreat, but not before Astrotrain destroys the crystal mines, starting a chain reaction that will blow the entire moon up. Omega and the other Autobots help the people to another planet, and the episode ends there. It's been a while since I've seen this, but I remember when I first saw it that I was like, okay, this is starting with not Transformers. This is starting with an alien race on some moon. I don't know. Just wasn't really that great of an episode in my mind.
Well, in my opinion, I didn't really care for this episode. I thought it was pretty boring. It's mostly just filler.
Yeah.
There's nothing really worth noting here on the episode.
Not at all.
It's not bad, but it's not one that I would sit there and be like, oh yeah, that was a great episode.
It's not an Autobot Spike, and it's not a bot, so that's good. But, I mean, it's still... Some shows I can handle being shown something completely different that has nothing to do with what the show is, like Transformers, you know. But with that show, it just didn't... The other note that I had on the little notes thing I wrote up, the only good thing about it was showing Astrotrain more than normal. I mean, because recently, you know, going through season two, before this episode, Astrotrain was maybe in one or two scenes, and then that was it. I didn't really notice any animation or sound flubs. It was basically, like you said, just a filler episode, and I really don't normally care for it. All right.
Nobody seems to want you, so that makes you mine. We're gonna fix you up.
Good.
This is a most disturbing development.
Thanks, guys. Let's see. Two new tires. Garb's probably shot. Front end needs tweaking. And I can hammer that hood into shape, no sweat. I don't know who used to own you, but you're mine now.
Nobody owned me. I'm mine.
Yay!
Cat got your tongue? Come on, chum, wake up.
Oh, man.
Look, I've been shot at, smashed up, and stolen three times tonight, and I'm in a most foul humor. So if you will be so kind, please repair me.
That car talks!
You've got a mind like a steel trap.
I'll fix you up, all right. But then, I'm selling you to the Geddes brothers. I promised them a car by midnight, and they'll pay through the nose for you.
You're not serious.
Hey, you don't make promises to the Geddes brothers you can't keep. Anyway, I need the bread more than I need a set of wheels.
More than you need a friend?
First time in my life I try to steal a car, and I get one with a big mouth.
Where did you procure auto parts at this time of night?
You want to get fixed up, or you want to ask dumb questions? I could always go off and do a couple of burners instead of working on you.
Graffiti?
Hey, I'm not in the mood to be lectured by a car, okay? What the heck is all this stuff, man?
Get me fixed up and I'll show you. You haven't seen the half of me. No, don't! That wire's part of my primary electrical.
Car, speak to me. What did I do?
Up next is Make Tracks. Basically, to synopsize, this episode is all about Trax. It's just the way it is. He gets stolen three times in one night, and the Autobots are helping the city police in wrangling car thieves to get them off the streets. Trax gets shot at, and a human boy named Raul must help repair him. Raul and Trax find out that the head guys of the car theft ring were working for Megatron. The Decepticons are stocking up on stolen cars for some reason, and Trax has been caught on the conveyor belt, getting ready to be destroyed. Because his wiring shorts out, Raul faces off with Megatron and says that there is a bomb in his car. Megatron tells him to defuse it or he won't live anymore. Raul fixes Trax, but the Autobot is very low on power. Jazz and Sideswipe come to Trax's rescue, and the Autobots learn of the Decepticons' plan to turn the stolen cars into new Transformers. The Autobots get into the Decepticons' power station, and Raoul runs off and gets captured by Megatron. Raoul, however, opens his chest... opens Megatron's chest... However, opens his chest plate and short-circuits his wiring, and the Decepticons retreat. Raoul learned his lesson about stealing cars, and the episode ends. I cannot... This isn't one of the worst episodes, but give me a fucking break. This is like the Bumblebee learns a lesson every week and animated the first two seasons. This wasn't a favorite episode of mine at all. There were only a few action scenes in it. However, it did showcase Blaster much more than usual, so that was fun to see. I think as season two has progressed, they are introducing more and more new characters, most likely because of the newer toy line items coming out when they did.
Yeah, this episode is much better than the other one, of course.
It is an improvement.
Yeah, it is an improvement, but it's still not one of my favorites. The episode also, I don't know if you noticed this, but Blaster plays a song at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Rock song performed by the Dreadnoughts and G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah, that is right. That is true. Well, you know, Transformers and G.I. Joe crossed over all the time, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the same animators for the first...
two seasons.
Yeah. And then also Sparkplug's Garage showed up for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And Trax, when he was with the... when he was chasing the Geddes brothers,
mm-hmm.
he went past a movie theater that was playing Transformers the Movie.
So, are they trying to tell us something?
Yeah, it was like a subliminal message. Yeah, you're getting a movie.
I didn't even notice that. I just wanted to... I think there's only one episode in the entire ones that we're going to be reviewing in this episode that I actually really, really enjoyed, and that's coming up later. On to the next episode, which will be Child's Play.
Strike one, Decepticons! Strike two! Try my rocket ball, Shorty! Time for a pinch hitter! Now that's what I call a grand slam! Batter up! I got him! Strike three, Megatron. You're out!
If I can deduce the schematical configurations, we can deactivate the space bridge.
Another Decepticon trick.
You mean an Autobot trick. So where are we?
Evidently, the space bridge transported us to this alien planet. Be very cautious, Autobots.
Get this thing off me!
That sphere, is it mechanical?
I don't think it's even self-motivating. Whatever it is, I hope it's friendly.
This is Child's Play. To synopsize this episode, we start this episode off with the humans demanding that the Decepticons allow them to continue the baseball game. Oh, yeah, I remember this episode now. But Megatron believes that the inside of the ballpark is an excellent spot for a new space bridge location. God. That's fucking stupid. The Decepticons are playing baseball with the humans when the Autobots arrive and attempt to stop their evil plot. However, Megatron blasts the space bridge controls, sending several of both factions off into the unknown through the space bridge. Optimus and a few other Autobots, and Starscream and a few other Decepticons end up on a strange planet, where a boy named Aaron has a giant playset, and to him the Transformers are like miniature toys. But the boy's parents say that he can't have them. The authorities on Aaron's planet want to dissect the Transformers, but Aaron won't let them. The Autobots are going to use Aaron's dad's telescope to get back to Earth. And they end up in the sewers fighting each other and the rats. The Decepticons escape and search for Aaron's house, but the Autobots find the house first. The Decepticons break into the house and get on the light beam instead of the Autobots. Back on Earth, the Decepticons arrive on Earth and get attacked by alligators. What the hell? Aaron gives the Autobots a toy rocket ship, which Perceptor converts into a real rocket to get them back to Earth, thus ending this episode. This is one of those fun episodes, but it's not one of my favorites. I think these episodes we're reviewing today is where the G1 series turned more into the scientific type of deal than the action of the day episodes. Seeing the boy with the Transformers as toys was very cool. It showed everyone how, as kids, we would play with our toys and everything.
Yeah, this, like you said, is another filler episode, not one of the favorites. Obviously not in continuity. It is, but it's not for the fake, you know.
But, well, actually, it does have continuity, not overall, but the next episode, Quest for Survival, actually shows them. I think it's Quest for Survival. I don't know. It's either Quest for Survival or The Secret of Omega Supreme. Yeah, it's Secret of Omega Supreme. I don't know if they're out of order or what the deal is, but for some odd reason, Quest for Survival is stuck in there. In between Child's Play and Secret of Omega Supreme. And I don't think Prime or any of the other Autobots or Starscream or any of the other Decepticons that were with them are actually in that episode. I don't know. I have to wait until I actually read the synopsis for that one. But, when I first watched this and I rewatched it, I think a couple of nights ago, I'm like, oh my god, you have to be fucking kidding me. Like I said, it's a nice way to show how children of the 80s could actually play with the Transformers toys while they're watching the cartoon. It's a very whacked out, weird way to show it, but you gotta have story somewhere.
Well, it's like watching Small Soldiers.
Yeah, except this didn't have Tommy Lee Jones as Major Chip Hazard.
Yeah.
Alright, so on to the next episode.
Very interesting.
What is it?
What is what?
Your diagnosis.
Morphobots. I'm certain of it.
Morphobots? I thought they were extinct.
As did I.
Morphobots. Yes, I understand, Perceptor.
It seems the Morphobots have left their planet in a desperate search for sustenance.
Also, Prime, we have reason to believe that they are capable of devouring any robotic form.
Yes, approach them with extreme caution.
This is Megatron!
I'm receiving you, Megatron!
An Autobot convoy appears to be headed for a northeast valley. The insecticide must be there. Order the Insecticons to stay away until we've destroyed the insecticide.
What does that loudmouth show-off want?
What?
comes Megatron's messenger boy. What brings you here, Thrust?
Megatron sends a warning. The Autobots have acquired a robotic insecticide, which is capable of destroying you and your forces. You are not to go near the valley just northeast of here over those mountains. Once he destroys the insecticide, he will let you know it's clear. Then you may continue on any path you wish.
How considerate of Megatron! Do you expect us to believe that sentimental trash?
He values your safety.
What's Megatron really hiding in that valley?
Your insolence is disturbing.
Here's an electronic message to take back to Megatron. Give our best wishes to Megatron.
Those dirty roaches, I'll show them.
Thrust never could take a joke.
Up next, we have Quest for Survival. And to synopsize this episode, we start this one off with the Insecticons ravaging a nearby farm and destroying the farmer's equipment. Trax, Warpath, and a few other Autobots arrive to stop them, however. The Insecticons overpower them, forcing the heroes to retreat. At Autobot headquarters, they are getting repaired when Prime informs them that Cosmos, Bumblebee, and Spike are on their way back to Earth with something that will deal with the Insecticons. Yeah, you're right. It is out of continuity. I didn't think Prime was in this episode. Oh well. Deal with the Insecticons. It is robotic insecticide. However, there is a snag. Cosmos gets caught in some tentacles, and some spores remain on his chassis. And the plants are growing, depleting Cosmos' energy. He ejects Bumblebee and Spike and then crashes into the Earth. The Decepticons are doing some sort of energy transfer with the Insecticons. The Autobots learn that the mechanical plants that have engulfed Cosmos have taken over the entire valley. The Decepticons learn of the Autobots having the robotic insecticide. God, I can't say that word for shit. And need to get to it before the Autobots do. Back at Autobot headquarters, Perceptor discovers what the plant life is. They are Morphobots, a plant life energy draining organism that consumes all metallic objects. Perceptor warns Optimus to approach them with extreme caution. Megatron instructs Thrust to warn the Insecticons to stay away from the valley just north of where they are feeding, because that is where the Autobots most likely have the robotic insecticide to destroy them and the army that they have amassed. The Insecticons think it is a trick, however, and disregard the order. Freaking bugs. The Decepticons reach the valley, and Soundwave alerts Megatron that the Autobots are arriving, so they hide and set a trap for the Autobots. Once at the valley, Warpath and Ironhide attempt to stop the Morphobots, but can't. Blaster wants to try something, but Prime tells him no music. However, it's too late. The Autobots learn that the Morphobots are repelled by the music emitting from Blaster's speakers. Bumblebee and Hoist, along with a few other Autobots, break through the plant life with Blaster blaring his music, and they rescue Cosmos and head for the base. The Decepticons attack them before they can leave, and Megatron blasts the robotic insecticide. Fuck, I can't say those words. But the Decepticons get taken over by the Morphobots. The Insecticons pass by the Decepticons to the Morphobots forest and feast about the robotic plants, but they learn that the Morphobots eat the Insecticon army, and both Decepticons and Insecticons retreat. The Autobots gather up all the Morphobots and put them onto Omega Supreme, who takes off for a planet that is filled with robotic insects. The episode ends with Perceptor calling Prime for help because there are still Morphobots in the lab at the base. Okay, first of all, if these things are feeding on all metallic life, why the fuck would they put them in Omega Supreme?
Because apparently they're supposed to stop feeding. So they think.
I don't know. I'm putting my notes. This episode was probably my second favorite out of the ones we've reviewed today. The reason I say that is because the creators of the show keep showing us new characters in almost every episode. The animation has gotten very solid since the first season shows, and I've not really noticed any sound animation mistakes, nor have I noticed any bad lip-syncing problems. But, I mean, it's illogical. It's nonsensical. If the thing eats all metallic life, and it consumed Cosmos, and it was going to consume the rest of the Autobots, the only way, unless I forgot to write in there that Blaster was riding with him, that would be the only way that they could have these plants inside Omega Supreme to fly to a planet with a bunch of robot insects.
So, what would make Prime want to send this plague of, just morphobots to another planet that could possibly just wipe out the civilization completely?
Well, they said it was robotic insects, so I'm assuming that there was no actual, human life on that planet. They specifically said in the episode that they were sending these things, or these morphobots, or whatever the hell they are, that this plant life to a barren planet that only has robotic insects as its inhabitants. So, I mean, at least as far as I got from it, that it wasn't going to do any harm.
Well, you'd hope not.
Yeah, hope not.
Omega Supreme! It's Prime! Omega Supreme!
Your voice heard.
The Decepticons have towed an asteroid into orbit. We may need your help.
Talk premature. Disturbance unnecessary.
That asteroid may be new fuel for Megatron. The Constructicons are mining...
Constructicons? Constructicons! Enemies! Enemies! Die!
This is a military mission, not a vendetta, Omega.
Results same.
What happened between you and the Constructicons, Omega?
Question irrelevant. Answer private.
I want to know about it.
Order received. We'll talk.
Can you talk like a normal Autobot?
Just this once, I will talk the way I did on Cybertron, before the betrayal.
Omega Supreme, you're as fit as any Guardian robot I ever examined. Now, clear on out of here. Your city needs you.
I'll say, what with all the trouble the Decepticons have been making? Thanks, Doc.
You were one of the Guardian robots?
Yes. My duty was to defend the Crystal City.
I remember it. The most spectacular city on Cybertron.
How I love this place.
Were the Constructicons there too?
Yes, we were friends. They built Crystal City.
Omega Supreme, it's good to see you again.
It's been too long, my friends. What brings you here?
Maintenance. The foundation of the North Wall needs shoring up.
Then I better not keep you.
Nonsense. We haven't talked in a long time. What have you been up to?
Megatron had built a new machine.
I remember. The Robo Smasher. He used it to swell the ranks of the Decepticons. It immobilized robots and reprogrammed them for Megatron's uses.
Instruct me, Megatron. I exist only to serve you. I will obey your every order.
Yes, I know you will.
Of course,
Constructicons have created entire cities. But when my Robo-Smasher gets through with them, they'll create only havoc.
We must be off, my big friend.
High time I got on the job, too. What happened next was not known to me for many hours.
Here we are. We'll start with the inner wall. Open up! Open, you stupid door! Megatron! Omega Supreme!
What? What is it?
The capital city is under Decepticon attack! They need you!
But I can't just leave my post!
We'll guard Crystal City till you get back! Hurry! They need you!
I'm on my way!
Constructicons, let's go to work!
Don't tell me. There was no attack.
What in the world? They couldn't have been lying to me. Unless... Oh, no. No.
Constructicons betrayed you, Omega Supreme. They destroyed Crystal City.
The worst was yet to come. No!
It's Omega. Let's beat it.
My friends! My city! Oh, God! Megatron's work. I must rescue my friends. Then I shall have revenge. For weeks, I trapped them. I must move quickly.
Feel sane again.
Then let's go home. Perhaps Crystal City can be rebuilt. Robo-Smasher, careful. I don't want it to get you guys again. Then I learned.
I know. Megatron's reprogramming can never be undone.
But there was more. Megatron had given them a new form.
Devastator.
Quit squirming! This is for your own good!
No! You won't get me!
Get out of here!
Megatron failed. I live, but changed. Since then, I feel only hate for the Constructicons. They fled Cybertron in a starship.
And you followed them?
I did.
for millions of years across the galaxies.
And then you heard they'd found where Megatron was and rejoined him here on Earth.
I followed. I have been waiting.
I want you to stay here and take no action against them until you hear from me. Understand?
Message understood.
Lastly, up today, we have The Secret of Omega Supreme. To synopsize this episode, we begin this episode with a rocket ship shooting out of the sea and landing on a strange asteroid that is emitting strong energy readings. The Constructicons come out of the rocket and start mining the asteroid. Cosmos spots the Constructicons and reports back to Prime about their activities. Prime has Cosmos go back up into space and to get more information on why the Constructicons are mining this asteroid. Paraglide wants to know what Prime will do now that the leader states that he is going to go see the only other Autobot who can fly to outer space, Omega Supreme. Prime finds the giant robot, but Omega will not... Let's see, what does it say here? Omega will not help because he wants revenge against the Constructicons. Optimus Prime demands that Omega Supreme tell him the story of what happened between him and the Constructicons, thus entering us into a flashback. Omega complies, and we head in... Well, I just said that. It's a flashback scene. Omega tells the story. Apparently, the Constructicons were good robots on Cybertron. But with Megatron having the Robo-Smasher, they became evil and betrayed Omega Supreme. Back at the Autobot base, Teletran 1 and Perceptor do an analysis of the ore that Cosmos brought back. And even though it isn't complete, Optimus sends Omega Supreme to destroy the asteroid and the Constructicons. This was a foolish order, however, as the analysis is complete, it is found out that the asteroid is organic and alive. Omega has turned off his comlink and is not responding to Optimus, though. The Constructicons and Omega get into a battle, and during which Omega stomps on the asteroid, cracking it in half and releasing the organic creature within it. So, basically, hatched an egg. That's creepy. It's one big robot and one big fucking egg.
Yeah.
On Earth, Teletran informs Optimus that the asteroid was like I just said, like an egg for the creature, and it supplied the creature with food. It's only attacking because it's hungry. Also, only Omega Supreme can get the creature back into the asteroid. The Autobots head towards San Francisco, where the creature is attacking. But nothing that they can do can get it distracted enough. Prime gets Omega to help wrangle the creature back into the asteroid, but Megatron has converted some scrap parts into a long-range blaster and is going to blast the asteroid right out of the sky with Omega Supreme on it. However, Optimus shows up and foils the plan by destroying the blaster. Meanwhile, in space, Omega gets the creature back into the asteroid and drifts off into space. The episode ends with Prime telling Omega that he saved the city. This is my favorite episode out of the ones we reviewed today. It's probably the one I have the most to say about. The simple fact is that the writers of the cartoon either forgot that they created Constructicon backstory before this episode, or they did a reboot of the backstory. Because throughout G1, the origin story of the Constructicons changes at least 3 times. I liked seeing the backstory of Omega Supreme and the fact that he didn't always talk like Bizarro. Seeing the Constructicons being quote-unquote good robots was weird.
Yeah. And, basically, this episode as well, I'd have to say, is my favorite of the ones that were shown in this episode. It was cool to see Omega Supreme actually get a prime spot in the episode, as well as the Constructicons showing that they weren't always evil. And also, there were some animation flubs.
Yeah, I'm sure there were. I seem to remember a few. I don't know. It's been a while since I've actually seen the episode, so.
Well, I had seen them, and some of them were too fast, so I looked them up.
Yeah.
And so, this one is Sideswipe is shown chilling next to Megatron. Outside or inside the Decepticon base at the beginning.
Yeah.
Omega Supreme has no emotion but just this one time, he's going berserk over the Constructicons.
Mm-hmm.
And while Devastator is fighting Omega in the mountains,
yep.
Hook is shown at the ore refinery with Megatron and Starscream.
Yeah, that would be kind of impossible.
Considering he's one of their key components.
Yep. So, yeah. Well, that ends these episodes today.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike the Birdman Dodd from 1150 AM's Mike Miller Morning Show and ThisWeekInGeek.net. And you are locked into the TFG1 podcast, about the best damn podcast there is. Well, except my own stuff anyway.
We now return to the Transformers.
Well, that's all for this episode of the TFG1 podcast. Join possibly us next time. I don't know if Steve's going to be on the next episode, when we'll be reviewing 5 more episodes from Transformers Generation 1, Season 2. Those being The Gambler, Kremzeke, Sea Change, Triple Takeover, and Prime Target. Thank you for joining us on the TFG1 podcast. There are 4 ways to get in touch with us or leave feedback for the podcast. The first is you can visit the PredaconEmpire.com forums and get all your Transformers discussion topics there. And before I go on to the second thing, I have to say, all you current forum members, if you don't start posting, I'm going to send Megatron after you fuckers. Because, yeah, we need more people posting than just me and Steve. The second is that you can follow me on Twitter. You can actually follow both of us. Mine is the TFG1, or not the, it is TFG1 Podcast, and Steve's is SCP21. The third is that you can visit the Earth2.net forums. I have a thread over there for the podcast under the banter section. And the fourth is the email address, which is TFG1Podcast@gmail.com. For now, I am Michael Blanchard, and you are...
I am Steve/Megatron of all things Transformers.
Saying the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time.